Hello, and welcome to this live recording from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy what God's got to say to you.
Well, good morning. Good to be here this morning and share from God's Word with you. Look, as you know, we've been going through a series on metamorphosis, and this morning the topic is humility. Humility. I think sometimes in our lives, certain things come across our path and deal us a knock, and that knock puts us back. Many times, it makes us humble. I received something rude in the post this week, and you might be familiar that you might have received a green piece of paper as well. Sometimes these knocks come not by choice. It's a $100 fine for speeding. I'm sure they got it wrong, but it has my name on it. And so, next time I drive, I'm humbled and stick to the speed limit, even if I went 7 kilometers over. These reminders come and they make us humble. But Mother Teresa, that godly woman, said, "Humility is the mother of all virtues. Purity, charity, and obedience. It is in being humble that our love becomes real, devoted, and ardent." And we don't all have to be like Mother Teresa, but we can put humility into practice on a daily basis as we live our lives. As we begin to accept our limitations, we begin to see how God can use us in His kingdom. We begin to say, "God, I am here for you in my brokenness. Use me just as I am for your honor and for your glory." So the passage this morning is Romans 12, verse 16. First from the New International Version, and I think it says it beautifully in the message as well. It says, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." The message says it this way: "Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody." Wow. Interesting words. In the context of love and being transformed, how do we begin to practice humility? I remember I had a colonel in the South African Defense Force when I did my national service, and he had this plaque on his desk. And whenever we walked in, he said, "Look here first." And that plaque read, "Be reasonable, do it my way." Lo and behold, he was not a humble colonel, but we were humbled by him quickly. But how do I humble myself and put this particular passage into practice in March 2017? Well, how do we humble ourselves in relationships? Firstly, we need to be practicing friendship and harmony. Because in verse 16, Paul writes and he says, "Live in harmony with one another." Some translations say it, "Be of the same mind." Be of the same mind. Now that's a command. Be of the same mind. The word mind there, phroneo, means be of the same opinion and the same interest. And not the same position, but the same disposition. And so as I come to enter into relationships with people and to humble myself in those relationships, to form friendships and to live in harmony with one another, I begin to realize that I need to sacrifice my need to be right all the time. Do it my way. Do it my way is often the song of those who want to be right all the time. As you sit here this morning, do you know anyone who just has to be right all the time? Nudge, nudge. Do you know somebody who needs to be right all the time? They can never be wrong. They're always right all the time. But here's a more important question. Do you think anybody sitting here today thinks that you're one of those people? No. Maybe somewhere else, but not among us here, no. Well, a good relational principle is that we try and live in harmony with one another. As we develop friendships together, we don't always have to be right. But what Paul says here is, be of the same mind. Do your best to try and find a common interest and a common opinion. There are some people that go out of their way to make sure that they are the opposite as everybody else. And so Paul is saying, listen, try and find out and try and make sure that we are of the same opinion. That's never to justify our sins or never to justify sin and compromise the kingdom of God and the standard that God sets in the word of God. But it's to say, listen, I don't have to fight with you about everything. I don't have to be right about everything. I can live in harmony with one another. As Jonathan led us with this beautiful band this morning, if each person does their own thing and plays on their own tangent, goes off on their own tangent, it will sound chaotic. But it is as each one participates in harmony together that it sounds so beautiful. And many times we go off on our own tangent and do our own thing. But as we put our heads together and say, listen, as I think, let me think as other people think and try and be in harmony. And as we live in harmony and humble ourselves together so we can actually make progress together. I read something this week. It's a beautiful story about reindeer. It says, on planet Earth or National Geographic, there was this herd of reindeer. The herd was suddenly attacked by a pack of wolves. To begin with, the reindeer were very disorganized and they began to kick and lash out at these wolves. But because they were so unorganized, they were kicking each other and sometimes kicking some of the younger reindeer. Finally, almost by instinctive nature, they got together and the reindeer put their heads together in a circle and put the younger, weaker animals in the center with their rear legs toward the outside. They were kicking out and defending themselves from the wolves, and the wolves soon left. We need to put our heads together, our opinions, our thoughts together and say, how can we live together in our families, in our church? How can we have the same opinion in our friendships and live in harmony together? We don't need to be looking for opportunities to fight. You see, if Christ lives in us, that will come out of us. When we're in Christ, this should come out automatically because that's what His Holy Spirit does. It doesn't say me, myself, and I need to be right. It says, listen, let's see how we can live together in our marriages, in our families, in our churches, and in our communities together. Secondly, to practice good manners and courtesy. To practice good manners and courtesy. The second part of that verse 16 says, be willing to associate with people of low position. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? You don't know me yet. But when you find out, you'll humble yourself before me. That's often what you hear. Some translations say it this way, mind not high things. And the word for high things there in the original is ipsilos. Ipsilos. Be careful of being too lofty and too uplifted and elevated, is what Paul is saying. In other words, if you live with the Spirit of God within you, you are kind to other people, you're courteous, and you practice good manners. You see, in the kingdom of God, in the church of God, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there should be no aristocracy, spiritual aristocracy, if you like. Spiritual snobbery, as it were. We can't be saying, I'm better than somebody else. And there's a certain kind of people I don't want to come to my church. No. Were that case, or were that be the case, none of us would be able to go into church. James says it so beautifully in James chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Cuts through the fluff and he says, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. The word favoritism there, prosopolipsia, prosopo, face, and trying to show familiarity and partiality to some people's faces because of the way they look. And take that a little bit further, because of the car they drive, because of the way they dress, because they don't look like us, they are different. And James says, listen, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing gold ring and fine clothes and all the rest. And it's the only time in Scripture where it talks about the way we dress in a service, as it were. It says, listen, they are all equal. We are all VIPs in the kingdom of God. We're all very important people. Yes, some of us are VDPs, very draining people. But even the VDPs are VIPs, if you like. You know, and we need to be practicing good manners and courtesy to those people. And he says, listen, you have not to discriminate against those people. Don't desert them. Don't show hostility toward them. Don't give them an ill disrepute. Don't be hard against them, because we're all equal in the kingdom of God. The historians tell us that one of the reasons that the Roman Empire crumbled was because of the start of Christianity. Because there was this class-conscious society, there were the plebeians and the publicans and the slaves, but when it came to the church, they all sat together. Master and slave sat together. They were all equal at the same level before God. In the church this morning, we're all sinners saved by grace. All believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some are saved sinners. Others are going to be saved sinners. But we're all equal in the kingdom of God. And you know what? We all need grace. We all need grace. And so, as we come before God, in the kingdom of God, let's practice good manners. Let's build one another up rather than break one another down. Now, I'm not saying that's what's happening, but that's the passage for today. And so we build one another up and practice good manners. I've said this before. It's amazing what three little words can do if you string them together. Practice them in your marriages, in your communities. I love you. Cool, that's not too bad. I am sorry. Okay, if I make a mistake. You are right. I am wrong. Please forgive me. How dare we say things like that? Good manners and courtesy goes a long way. Can cover a multitude of wrongs. Thirdly, modesty and humility. The last part of verse 16, he says, do not be proud. That word proud is a very interesting word, because Paul plays on it and he says, don't be phronismos. Don't be arrogant in your own intelligence and in your own wisdom, because you might be wrong. You might be wrong. You see, don't be conceited. Don't be high-minded, he's saying. Don't think more highly of yourself, as it were. Take a good look at yourself in the mirror, he's saying. As you look at yourself in the mirror, laugh a little bit about yourself. Laugh a little bit about yourself is what Paul is saying. And he says, listen, as you laugh a little bit about yourself, you're not so perfect after all. That hairstyle leaves much to be desired, Christophides. But more importantly, that heart. What's wrong with that heart? Is it all okay? And as I look at myself and examine my own heart, I can become very, very humble and very, very modest as I begin to see my own wrongs. As I begin to look in this mirror, I don't sing "How Great Thou Art" anymore, because it is God who has touched me by His grace and His mercy. And so as we look in this mirror, we begin to examine our own hearts and we begin to humble ourselves, not because of who we are, but because of who God is in our lives. And we come before Him. You see, as I look at myself in the mirror, I can't be fake. I need to be honest with myself. I remember when we grew up, we used to pretend that we were somebody that we were not as kids, you know, Superman and Spider-Man, or I loved Rocky. You know, and then until the reality stepped in. You know, we used to act as if we were Father Christmas. We could act those. But when we examine our hearts, we cannot be fake. We begin to discover that we are real people in desperate need of His grace. You see, the you see is the you you'll be. Can you say that again, Christofides? That's quite early for a Sunday morning. The you you see is the you you'll be. If you see yourself as you are amazing, yes, 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 then there is a problem. That's pop psychology. But as we come ourselves before God, as we humble ourselves before God, He will lift us up. He will lift us up. And so as we come before Him and examine our hearts, we realize that arrogance is totally the opposite of humility, and we're not too fantastic after all. And so as we practice these principles in our relationships, it is good before the Lord Jesus Christ. If I look at myself compared to the Lord Jesus Christ, boy, it is humbling. I look at who Jesus mixed with. He loved His enemies. He mixed with winebibbers and publicans and prostitutes and drunkards. He spent time with common people. The ones He had a problem with were those religious aristocracy. They thought they were better than everybody else. And I could have been one. But as I look at this verse properly, I begin to see that it is only God that is great in my life. Jim Elliot, that Christian martyr, said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." We say that again. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. You see, as we humble ourselves, that's not stupidity. You see, the world often thinks that humility is stupidity and meekness is weakness. No, that's what the Lord Jesus requires of us, to be humble, because He has come and taken control of our lives, and He's the one that dwells within. Andrew Murray, in his book, Humility, the Beauty of Holiness, says it this way: every Christian virtually passes through these two stages in his pursuit of humility. In the first, he fears and flees and seeks deliverance from all that can humble him. He prays for humility at times very earnestly, but in his secret heart, he prays more, if not in word, then in wish, to be kept from the very things that will make him humble. And so there is this constant tension. Do I serve? Because if I serve, I might be misunderstood as weak. But let me give you a couple of points in closing, very practical points on how I hope we can practice humility on a daily basis. Now, today, as you leave here, how can you and I put these principles into practice? Firstly, avoid taking credit. Practice that discipline of secrecy by doing stuff without the world knowing about it. You know, when you do something at home, oh, you can thank me later. Oh, I fixed the photocopier, but you can thank me later. Avoid taking credit for some of those things. And folk, I say it's a discipline because it's not easy to practice. But we need to be practicing it anyway. Secondly, praise others. You see, pride makes us envious and often resentful of others' talents, of other people's gifts and how great they are. But the surest way to break that is to compliment others, to tell them how great they are. And we should not be passing these opportunities by at all. Thirdly, help others succeed. You see, our egos can often get in the way. You're not going to get past me. I'm going to beat you. See you at the top. But you'll be behind me and underneath me. Now, it's good to succeed in the business world. But it's also good to help others to succeed. And that helps us practice humility. Fourthly, admit your mistakes. I do that all the time, you say. No, nobody likes doing this. But the quicker we're willing to say, I was wrong, you were right, I am sorry, please forgive me, I can carry on. You know, the closer we come to humility. Then learn from others. Learn from others. Appreciate the value of others. They've advanced beyond us. They've gone before us. And that humbles us and we can thank them for that. Then go last. Oh, are you kidding me? Go last. Go last. In line at the Woolies. Just shock somebody and say to the person behind you, why don't you go before me? Oh, they'll have a heart attack. Oh, I don't want them to have a heart attack, so let me go in front of them. Folk, it's part of the discipline of practicing humility. In the traffic, allow somebody to come in. Allow somebody to come in. And so I'll be watching you in the traffic. You know what? As we do that, it does us good. And then, lastly, serve someone. You know, we often resist serving somebody because we believe that that direct relationship between serving somebody else makes us less important. But Jesus turned that idea on its head. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And those who serve will be great in the kingdom of God. Run an errand for a friend. Give away some of your stuff. Bring somebody a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. Shock them. That's part of humility. Andrew Murray wrote, "The danger of pride is greater and nearer than we think, and the grace of humility too." In that next slide there, you'll see a picture. I want to tell you a story. A nurse took the tired, anxious serviceman to the bedside. "Your son is here," she said to the old man. She had to repeat the words several times before the patient's eyes opened. Heavily sedated because of the pain of his heart attack, he dimly saw the young uniformed soldier standing outside the oxygen tent. He reached out his hand. The soldier wrapped his toughened fingers around the old man's limp ones, squeezing a message of love and encouragement. The nurse brought a chair so that the soldier could sit beside the bed. All through the night, the soldier sat there in the poorly lighted ward, holding the old man's hand and offering him words of love and strength. Occasionally, the nurse suggested that the soldier move away and rest a while. He refused. Long towards dawn, the old man died. The soldier released the now lifeless hand he had been holding and went to tell the nurse. While she did what she had to do, he waited. Finally, she returned. She started to offer words of sympathy, but the soldier interrupted her. "Who was that man?" he said. The nurse was startled. "He was your father," she answered. "No, he wasn't," the soldier replied. "I never saw him before in my life." "Then why didn't you say something when I took you to him?" Whenever the nurse came into the ward, the soldier was oblivious of her and the night noises of the hospital, the clanking of the oxygen tank, the laughter of the night staff members exchanging greetings, the cries and moans of the other patients. Now and then she heard him say a few gentle words. The dying man said nothing, only held tightly to his son all through the night. I knew right away there hadn't been a mistake, or there had been a mistake. But I also knew he needed his son, and his son just wasn't there. When I realized that he was too sick to tell whether or not I was his son, knowing how much he needed me, I stayed. I came here tonight to find a Mr. William Gray. His son was killed in Iraq today, and I was sent to inform him. What was this gentleman's name? The nurse, with tears in her eyes, answered, "Mr. William Gray." Friends, it is good to humble ourselves and to serve others. I don't know what it costs to make a phone call, but with this last $1 coin, if I had to make one phone call to a humble person, would you be the person I called? But more importantly, would I be the person that you called? I wonder how many phone calls we would receive. I pray that God will humble us as we serve Him. May we practice it every day. in his name and in his strength. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts. Lord, we know that we can never serve effectively in our own strength, but only by your grace and by your mercy. And so we pray that you will come and fill us afresh with your strength, with your energy, and with your Holy Spirit that will do what is pleasing in your sight. Help us, Lord, to do this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. If you'd like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, then you can contact the team at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church by calling the office during office hours on 9329 1777. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your company again soon. God bless.